The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
All right, good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Happy to have from Northern New Jersey on the line right now, Joe, who's a fellow gambler in recovery. Joe, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good, good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on and allowing me to share my story. I appreciate that.
Yes. So when was your last wager, Jojo?
June of 2015.
All right. And I imagine while life still has, you know, its obstacles, as it does for everybody, you're in a really good place and things are really good for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting you say that because about 6 weeks ago, I lost my father to stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
And, you know, it's still fresh. But that said, I attribute the program, and I give all props to the program itself, to keep me in place, to not going out, from going back out and gambling. That allows me to deal, because you said life on life's terms, basically, right, Craig? And it's still happening. You know, there's financial pressures, there's personal issues, you know, things happen with your child, have a special needs child. So all these things still are out there, but the program has allowed me to live life on life's terms and taught me how to deal with situations instead of running from them and escaping.
Yeah, so I guess I would say two things, if I may, in that. One, I think it's great that your dad got to see you get healthy before he passed away, and that's instrumental, right?
Oh, my God, that is so big for me. You know, thank God my mom's still alive. They live with us. My mom still lives with me and my wife and I, and you know, thankfully they got to see their son in recovery, and that's, I can't even tell you how important that is for me.
Yeah, no, that's a significant thing, and I got chills thinking about it, that, you know, that your dad got to see that. And number two, you know, it's... Yeah, the thing I try to express to people is that while we're all celebrating recovery and we're in a really good place, you know, life still happens. And the good thing for you, and I knock on wood if I've ever, you know, faced with, you know, situations like you've been dealing with for a while now, that I also wouldn't go turn to my comfort zone of gambling to escape. So the fact that, you know, you got through that tough period with your dad and you didn't turn to gambling as a safety net for you, which you might have done, you know, 8 years ago, I think says a lot about the work you've put into recovery. So congratulations on that as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So let's hear your story. How old were you when you first started wagering?
Well, I mean, I guess I was, you know, 13, 14, 12. I don't even remember. But it was small wagers. I remember, like, betting one time. I think it was, like, a Mike Tyson fight with somebody at work. You know, it was crazy stuff, right? And, yeah, but it was minor, harmless. And then when I got about 17, 18, and I remember, if you know, I'm 49, so Craig, you remember this. I remember the clubs, and we were going to the clubs with the girls and all that stuff. And right, but then I kind of started going to Atlantic City instead of the clubs. My friends started to see me kind of move away from that. And I got a fake ID. I was going down to Atlantic City. I was playing poker. So right around like 17 or so, really, 16, 17 is when it started to get a little heavy. And I met, you know, bookmakers and so on. And what was interesting was I came from an incredibly loving, non-addictive family. So based on my background, you'd never think there was going to be any issue, right? And nobody drank, nobody drugged, nobody gambled. My parents were emotionally available, you know, just gave me everything I wanted. But what happened was, I never smoked cigarettes, I never took drugs, and I never drank alcohol. I still, to this day, I got drunk once, never liked it, and left it alone. But gambling really appealed to me, the high, the rush, the excitement. I was always a thrill seeker. And just somehow it got more and more out of control. It started out as fun. It's turned to something totally disastrous. And, you know, and it's just, I couldn't even tell you. We need a 27-hour podcast to tell you all the stuff.
I can kind of compartmentalize a lot of the guests we've had on the show where either you're a guy or gal that has a very specific game, you know, blackjack, slots, whatever it might be, or you're the type of guy or gal that just bets on everything. And what was your story?
I loved poker. Poker was my thing. I'm a math guy. I was very good. I mean, I felt like I was good at it, which, and I put sports too. Sports was a thing. I grew up a sports fan, so sports was easy. But loved sports, and poker was my real love, to be truthful. I just loved being at a poker table, loved the solitude.
And I'm going to stop you there. You know, it's funny you say that. You know, mine was more blackjack because the speed of poker didn't fit, you know, my brain works.
That's tough. You're right about that, Craig. Yeah. When I learned how to play poker properly, it was grueling, and it was excruciatingly painful, actually. I like holding all these hands. But when you're in a hand and you're in the middle of it and you're bluffing and you're check raising and you're all – It's hard to explain the excitement of it.
So, Joe, let me ask, when you, and I know I'm fast-forwarding part, a lot of your story, you're getting towards, closer to the end of your gambling. Mm-hmm. When you are really knee-deep in it, give people an idea of how all-consuming gambling was for you.
Oh, God. It's depressing even thinking about it. But just to give you an understanding, like, everything I did was about how I'm going to continue to gamble. Right. And I got involved with the wrong kind of people. I had friends in all, in the wrong place. I guess you know what I'm saying when I say this.
Let me explain this just for people to understand that, and I'll do it the best I can. There are people that used to be in my life and Joe's life who, to be fair, never did a damn thing wrong to us or, for or anything. But they're bad people who get involved in bad things that don't end well. And there are people, Joe, you'd say the same thing, where if I picked up the phone right now, and these are people I've not talked to in over 4 years, and I said, hey, I'll make up a name, hey, Billy, I'm back, pick me up, they'd be at my house in 20 minutes ready to go.
Right, and worse than that was I befriended many of these people, and we were very close, and we would run scams together, and I ran scams that could have landed me in prison for 20 years. We did things that, were highly illegal, robbing people, stiffing people. It was really bad. And because I had this, and what made it worse was I had essentially a license to steal with these people backing me. So I could run scams knowing that I had their protection behind me. And this went on for a long period of time. So it made it worse because it enabled me to essentially gamble. And then if I lost, I'd have to pay. And it just kept me free money, basically. So it really made it worse. And I mean, it just got to the point where my wife was just unsure of what was going to happen. And she started to protect herself. And that was good for her, smart. And then, I came in for the millionth time. And just to go backtrack a little bit, to give you a backstory, my father, when I was 16 years old, brought me into GA. He grew up in the streets of Brooklyn, in the slums. He understood. He was born in Brooklyn. He totally understood, the Irish lottery, everything else.
Right.
He said that you have a gambling problem. And because of that moment, even though I didn't identify at that time, I knew there was a place to go. So for 25 years, I was in and out of GA.
But I
always knew where to go. And I always credit my father for that. And I just,
That's so funny to me. And funny is not the right word. It's interesting to me because, I have a similar background. Your family, the streets of Brooklyn, legitimately the streets of Brooklyn. I knew better. I knew all the warning signs. I knew exactly, what people are people you don't want to hang out with or have over to the house or introduce to, your family. And yet you and I both, decided, I guess it was out of our control at some level, but went down that road anyway. And I'm always fascinated by that. I can't for the life of me, I think I've come to terms with the majority of the mistakes I made, the decisions I made, and how gambling really controlled me. But that's one of the ones I have yet to reconcile in my own brain, knowing that these people, not that they meant me harm, but were not people I should be associating with. And some of the things I got involved with and the people I was involved with, just weren't good people. And I knew it, and I did it, and I got involved with them anyway. Joe, before we take the first break, how out of control was your ego at the height of your gambling?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you because I was one of these loud kind of guys. I'm like a very friendly, gregarious kind of guy. And I would be in a poker room, and I'd have a baseball game or a football game, they'd score a touchdown. I'd jump up and be like, God, that's right. I knew they were going to score a touchdown. You got to have beaten my chest and high-fiving everybody in the room. It was insane. It was totally insane. You ride so high when you have a victory, and especially if you have like a team that's like minus two and they went by 29, and you're like, oh, see, I knew that. I knew that was going to happen. It's just the ego's totally out of control. You know everything. You're the best, sports handicapper ever. It's nauseous. I'm nauseous thinking about it.
All right, let me take a quick break. We'll get to how it all kind of blew up, and then the good part of the story, which is recovery, right after this on Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. We have Joe from Northern New Jersey. All right, Joe, so, you know, we've kind of walked in similar shoes here. What was the kind of final straw, bottom of the barrel moment where after a lifetime of, you know, going in and out of GA meetings, that you finally got to a place where enough was enough?
Well, I'll remember it as clear as day, right? We were at my aunt's house. She lives in Somerset County, and we lived in Bergen at the time. And I remember thinking, like, I was so sick at that time, and I'd lost, like, some crazy 17 parlay because the team gave up 8 runs in the top of the ninth inning. It was just totally insane. And I remember just feeling so nauseous. But it wasn't the usual type of sickness. It was like a feeling of despair, of just being defeated. And I said, and I remember seeing a friend of mine who you actually interviewed on the show. I went to see him, and I said, and he was still in active addiction at the time. And I said, you know, I just don't feel like living right now. I remember driving home on 78 thinking, why don't one of those buses that are going to Sam's blow a tire and flip over and, you know, crush my wife and my son and I. And my son was only, you know, a few years old at that time. And I said, something's got to change. And I went to his house, and I saw him that night on a Sunday night. And he said, why don't I check into the hospital? And I said, I'm going to go home and tell my wife. Let's do it tomorrow morning. And then I went in for 8-9 days, something like that. And they released me, and I went right to a GA meeting, and it started.
So you went to an inpatient rehab center?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was more of a mental institution.
Yeah. And you did that because, right, so you had thoughts of committing suicide or wishing that you were going to die?
100%.
And outside of the dream of, I hope that bus kind of flips over, did you ever attempt to act on it, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I did not. I mean, I'm grateful to say that. But I saw the warning signs, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And I just knew something had to be done. And I went to my friend, and he said, why don't I drive you to the hospital, man? He goes, I don't think you should be walking the streets like that. And I said, sure.
Yeah,
and
I got to imagine that was the toughest night of your life, because then you do have to sit down with your wife. And while, you know, I've said a million times, it'd be so easy to just rip the bandit off and tell them everything. None of us ever do right away.
Wife knew everything.
She did.
She saw how out of control I was. I didn't care. I was reckless. I wasn't someone who was a closet gambler. I pretty much roamed the streets with impunity. I didn't care.
Gambled. And by the way, our loved ones know more than you think they do. Now listen, they don't. You know, it's interesting to me because someone said to me, you know, do you ever tell them everything? And I go, the reality is that because gambling is such a big part of your life, there's a lot of things you do, at least I'll speak for myself, that you forget. You're sitting at a stop sign on a particular corner, and then you see a light, and you go, oh, my God, I was in that place. You know what I mean? Or, hey, or you bump into someone, and, oh, my God, I gambled with that guy. There's stuff you truly don't remember, but they know a lot more than you might think they know.
Yeah, and it's funny you said that, because that's when the work began, Craig. You know, this is the thing. When I got into GA, my wife was still very angry because she didn't have a place to go. I did. And I'm getting all this out at my meetings, and she's still resentful, which I totally understand. I created that resentment.
Sure.
And now things are coming up, how she felt, how I didn't even know certain things, right? Things I did, I didn't remember them, like you said. And the work began, and it took a lot of time. It wasn't overnight. It's still, even today, there are still scars and wounds that run deep that may never go away.
Yeah, and that's real. You know, we all still deal with it because there are still levels where, you know, they love you. And there's something will pop up for them that we don't even know is like a trigger that makes them, you know, question you or, you know, go back to a dark place in their lives that we were totally oblivious to because, you know, it was all about us, you know, when we were gambling. I wonder, when you did have that moment and your friend took you to the therapy or the mental health center, and then you started going to GA regularly, how long did it take you, assuming you are there now, and I want to say it respectfully because, you know, I want you to answer the question, where you didn't actively miss gambling on a daily basis and you were gambling?
The day I went into the institution, I at that point was I was done with gambling. I didn't even care. If somebody came to me and said, here's my money, risk-free, I wouldn't do it. I didn't want to do it anymore. It was no longer any fun. I just said, I'm done with it. I literally said to myself, I am done with it. I have no desire to go back. And thankfully, to today, you know, I don't have these fantasies in my head about gambling. It's still a struggle and sense of escapism, because this is the thing I tell everybody, is that I can escape in other ways.
Right.
I can eat myself to death if I wanted to. I can, you know, I can have an affair. I can, you know, sell drugs or whatever it might be, or drink, and I don't do any of those. But I can find another avenue to escape, and I found that. Well, I've been eating a little bit more since my father's death,
sure.
And I've been just kind of isolating, and so I have to break that cycle. But the point is that I didn't feel that need to gamble any longer. I was beaten down by it, and thankfully, I still feel that today. I mean, I'm grateful, you know, one day at a time, that I don't have that urge. But it's still a struggle in life, because you don't want to substitute your addiction for something else.
But before I let you go, you know, we try to end the show on a positive note. You know, you're in a really good place now. And I've always said on this show that if I can go more than 4 years now without gambling, anybody can do it. And I feel that way. That being said, I want to recognize it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of hard work and diligence. And there are painful nights and nights where you're crying and nights where you're upset and mad, all the emotions. You're on the gamut. But the reality is that if you're willing to do it, if you want to be a better dad, if you want to be a good husband, if you want to be a good friend, you know, you put the work in and the time in to fix yourself to get to a place where gambling isn't a part of your life. And I just wonder what you would say to those young guys out there that are now just coming to terms with the reality that, yeah, they have a problem, but they don't think they can ever get to a place that you, Dan, and I are at. Like, what do you say to those young guys that are starting this process now?
I just always tell people when they come in, and people that I've sponsored and so forth, that there is a better way of life. And I'm proof of that. And the entire room's proof of that if you decide to come to GA. And the reality is that the gambling, you didn't gamble because you wanted to gamble. You gambled because you had to gamble. That's what I tell everybody. And you had no choice, but now you're here, you have a choice. And if you work on yourself and you peel back the onion and you really find out what is underneath there, why you decided to gamble, and you address those inadequacies or whatever they might be, your anger issues, maybe it's avoidance, maybe it's immaturity. But if you address these and you talk about them, you will get better. And if you need any kind of proof, just come to GA and see people, man. They've turned their lives around. And the stories are all the same. Different roads, but we all end up at the same place. And I promise you, there is a better way of life.
Yeah, I think that's a great message. Like, there's great commonality amongst all of us. The amount of money is different, the game is different, but the processing of it is dead on the same for all of
Absolutely.
Us. Yeah. You know, and it's funny, I'm listening to you say that, and I'm hearkening back to a lot of the GA rooms I've been in. And I will say this, if you've never been to a room, I want to keep it real with everyone. That first room ain't easy, and you might even walk out of it. And that's okay, too. You do have to find a room that you're comfortable in, that you feel like, you know, the other people there, maybe it's age appropriate, maybe it's personality, that it's okay to shop until you get to a place that you just feel good in, and that's okay. And if you walk in a room and walk out of it, which I've done many, many times, that's okay as long as you find another room to try. So just know that you don't have to go to one and, you know, that's the end all. You can go to one, not like it, and find another one that you do like.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I would say is to people is what was a real turning point for me was when I started turning my will over and trusting the process, right? And as I was getting better, I started to have a little more gratitude of the things I do have in life as opposed to the things I don't have in life. That I thought about it. My parents are alive. I said, I have a beautiful son. I have a beautiful wife who loves me and cares for me. I'm healthy. I thought about all these things, and I said, wow, I was complaining about things I didn't have. But now I'm saying, wait a minute, I have all these beautiful things, and I'm just missing them. I'm not really focusing on them. So be grateful for that, and it does get better. It just takes time, and don't run away from the challenge. That's the real message there. Just don't run away from it.
Well, Joe, I'm glad you share your story, not just on the radio, but you know, privately as well. Proud of you that you made it, you know, 7+ years. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for the service you guys do, because putting this out there, you might reach someone. And that's why I offered to do this, because I might reach someone out there who's struggling and has a similar story and says, man, that's my story. I'm going
to
do what he
does. And I will tell you this, one of the best things to talk to people like me, I think, like Danny for sure, and like Joe, is that none of us are going to blow smoke up your ass. Like, we know who you are. We know what
Keep
you
it
do.
Real.
We've all done it. And one of the great things is that when you talk to somebody that you know you can't BS, there's a lot of power in that. And, you know, we all do it every day. But I know that, you know, the people like us are here to help because we've walked a mile in your shoes and we totally get it.
Well, I appreciate that. That's why I can share these things with fellow people in recovery, you know, fellow addicts. It's the only way to do it. If I told people these stories in the normal real world, they'd be like, what are you saying?
Exactly. All right, pal. Well, listen, be good. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care, man. Be well.
All right. Take care. So if you're listening, if you are someone that's struggling, if you know someone that's struggling, you can always reach out to me directly, craig.carton@odyssey.com. You can find Dan through Epic Risk Management, and we will always return your email, your calls, and get you towards the you know, the place that can absolutely help you on a professional level so that you don't go down the bad road. Have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to Hello, My Name is Craig.